Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer. It's BMS and Beamer here on WBEN. We'll get to more of this in a moment. Shane McGowan died this morning, earlier today, which, you know, again, it's one of these things that you can't say it came as a shock. Like, his bad, famously in bad health for my entire life, but still only 65 years old.
Yeah.
And just a complete legend. To the music I listen to, it says something. Every band that I follow on social media has been posting about Shane McGowan, a photo of them with this guy and what he means to them. And we'll have more on that in a moment. But Joe, I wanted to just quickly start another death that happened in the last 24 hours, and that's Henry Kissinger. And I am no Kissinger expert, right? Like, he's not somebody in history. The Cold War is just not my...
By the way, you're like one of the only people our age actually admitting that before saying an opinion. Because yeah, everyone our age is talking true. Like they lived yeah. in the middle of the Cold War. No, we were born in the late 80s, early 90s, and people are talking like they know exactly what they're talking about.
But I think that's the reason why the Cold War just never really interests me. Because when we grew up, it was over.
Yeah.
You know, and it was freshly over, like, as we were born in like the first few years of our lives, and there was no reason to really think about it. You know, World War II was history, and it was interesting to learn about,
right.
And you can kind of immerse yourself in a lot of stuff that was said after the fact. The Cold War, it had just happened. It wasn't like ancient history or something like, ooh, you know, what happened? It was like, you know, our teachers in the room, there was like, yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah,
you know,
it was glossed over in every history class.
So it was never really my area of expertise.
100%
agree. I was never really a Henry Kissinger person. I know him as being one of the most influential people in one of those figures in American politics outside of the president of the United States that really shaped a lot of policy. And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and to have somebody whose name you know, I mean, how many secretaries of state can you really name throughout history? That list is very short. As time goes on.
And usually because they did something after Secretary of State or had something else on their resume.
Yeah. Former Secretary of State.
I don't know Hillary Clinton because she was Secretary of State.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. But that's how you knew Henry Kissinger. And so that is kind of a giant of politics. Joe, we are a classless society.
Yeah, you're not breaking news there.
Because this happened the other week when Bobby Knight passed away, the legendary basketball coach,
right.
Who, you know, is most famous to someone our age for throwing a chair.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah.
But, you know, the legendary basketball coach, and he passes away, and immediately, what's the reaction? Oh, yeah, this terrible person. I'm like, whoa, just what? Hello. This is the headline from Rolling Stone magazine. The Rolling Stone magazine headline is, quote, Henry Kissinger, war criminal, beloved by America's ruling class, finally dies. It's the headline in Rolling Stone magazine. Like, come on. We are a classless society. I'm waiting for someone to say something bad about Shane McGowan now this morning after he passed away, because that is the only thing you see. Classless society driven by ridiculous online, really it's an online media landscape that wants clicks over anything else, because I just need to shock you into clicking my article, and then I win, courtesy be damned. It doesn't matter.
Excuse me.
Yes. No, and that's become the Rolling Stone. We are talking about the same Rolling Stone that did a cover article on the Boston bomber.
It's not like I should be expecting anything out of Rolling Stone, but it just goes to general, because
it's not just the Rolling Stone.
That's the thing. I bet I could pick out a whole bunch of different ones that are just like that. And that's not an editorial, really. That's their article on the passing of diplomat Henry Kissinger. And it's just this, we can't just put up another Henry Kissinger article, because no one's going to actually...
That's exactly what it is.
You're Rolling Stone. You could just not put up a Henry Kissinger article because you're Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, when you heard Kissinger died, did you go, I wonder what the Rolling Stones going to say about this.
I mean, I can, you know, Coldplay, whatever. You know, when they break up, you can, you know, say that they're the worst thing. When Nickelback breaks up, you can just say they're the worst thing of all time, even though they're like the most influential Canadian thing ever. But yeah, so you could just not post the article, but no, you got to stand out in some way. And it's, to me, disgusting because of this, Joe. It's just a common courtesy. I think it's classless, even if you think he was the worst person. Well, actually, no, because there's very few people who ever like fall into that category of their death is celebrated.
Yes.
I don't think this is one of them.
No.
And not celebrating death is, to me, what separates us from being just absolute savages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get a little irritated when I see stuff like this in the morning.
This is my editorial. I am going to put an editorial on this, Brian. Anyone who has .bsky.social has something awful to say about Henry Kissinger this morning. That has been the trend I've noticed on Twitter. And like you said, I mean, you could just not say anything at all. I was on Instagram earlier, and someone had the Photoshop of the article and playing "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead." I mean, how about just don't post anything? How's that sound? And again, it's coming from people our age who don't know what they're talking about.
The celebration, like, yes, 100-year-old Henry Kissinger was doing a lot of bad stuff to you personally right now. Right. The celebration by a 30-something-year-old over, you know, somebody whose influence really was done by the time you were on this planet. Okay, we need to get off.
I will say one thing, because I like to, anytime he's in the news, I like to bring up this trivia question. Gerald Ford, who he continued being the Secretary of State for, Gerald Ford, the only president not elected in American history, because he did not appear on the ticket as the vice president when Nixon was elected. I'd like to throw that out there.
That's a nice little trivia question. The blue sky thing is funny. I'm sorry. You make me laugh. I'm going to cough today
because
that's just how it's working. But somebody invited me to blue. Oh, do you want a blue sky invitation? Like what? What? No, but what is it? Like, oh, it's the new Twitter. Oh, so it's Twitter without any of the benefit of Twitter, like the breaking news and all the people you follow and like being able to, but with all the annoying people who just complain about everything?
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks.
Here's what Blue Sky is. Blue Sky, it's an echo chamber. It's exactly what I try to get out of.
Yeah.
It's an echo chamber. You got one. It's really the opposite of True Social, right? True Social is an echo chamber for one political opinion. Blue Sky is an echo chamber for the other political opinion. That's where we've gotten. People who can't dare see an opposing opinion.
Anyways, it just, I don't know. You see stuff like that in the morning, and I think it's because it is so fresh off the heels of the Bobby Knight stuff. You know, Bobby Knight passes away. The first thing, did you know he was arrested once in Puerto Rico? All right, people, get a grip.
Well, just wait till Tim Allen dies.
He
was also arrested.
Don't even start.
Not that Tim Allen's anywhere close to dying. He's still making a new show. I'm just saying.
Anyways, Shane McGowan passed away
this
morning, and just one of the absolute true legends. Probably one of my, you know, personally most listened to artists of all time.
He's on your Spotify Wrapped?
No, not this year. But if there were a Wrapped for my life, he would have been, including all the CD plays and everything. He would absolutely be up there. Just incredible. He gets a lot of credit for being like a poet, basically like one of the best lyric writers of all time. And that's true. For me, it was the attitude, how you can take traditional music and play it with such an attitude that it turns into the just most aggressive stuff I've ever heard in my life. That's what I love. And, you know, on the flip side, you can then turn around and, you know, sing the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. That's what I love about Shane McGowan. And he will be missed. And to one of those people who, again, like my entire life, he's been in bad health. He's been in a wheelchair for half of my life. I'll never get a chance to really go and see him. That's upsetting to me.
That was my question. Did he ever pull like the Phil Collins and tour?
Yeah. He's in a wheelchair and everything. You know,
so you've seen him?
Reunions with the Pogues. No, I've never seen him before. Oh. He's been in America, you know, brief like three show runs, you know, every 5 years or so, oh, okay. you'd have the opportunity to, you know, go to a big city. But I never was able to, which is sad because now he's gone. And Joe, I was thinking about doing the show today anyway, before I heard this news earlier this morning, because I was walking in and playing over the speaker was, no offense to Star and the Great Playlist people, just one of the worst Christmas songs I've ever heard in my life. Is just, not the way I wanted to walk into work. Shane McGowan wrote, in my mind, arguably, to a lot of people, the greatest Christmas song of all time, Fairy Tale of New York, they performed with the Pogues.
Okay.
So I thought it would be maybe an appropriate day to open up your special show. What is the best Christmas song of all time? What's the most underplayed Christmas song of all time? And what is just the absolute worst that when you hear it, you want to jump out of the car instead of turning the radio off because it's that bad?
Can we start with that? Can we start with the absolute worst?
The absolute worst thing you want to jump out of?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any version of Marshmallow World. I think it's the worst Christmas song ever.
What's that one again?
It's a marshmallow world in the winter.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, I hate the term marshmallow world. I can't. That is the one Christmas song. If I hear it, changing the station. Cannot sit through it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's as my friend Joe, will every year, December 1st, it's coming tomorrow, he will text me a video of Marshmallow World to kick off what he thinks is kicking off the holiday season. I cannot stand that song.
Here's the big problem with doing the show that I think I could have done a little bit of research or something like that. The song that was playing as I walked in, it's a more contemporary song, which to me, all the most annoying songs are the newer songs. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
But it's played all the time.
Can you give me like a...
I think I'm getting it confused with another one, so I can't even say that I'm singing the song that I'm thinking about. It's not the Mariah Carey song, even though I don't really like that one either. It's sang by a woman.
Okay, so let's...
So I'm going through these songs. Is it Santa Tell Me?
Santa Tell Me If You're Really Here.
Hate that one.
Ariana Grande, love that song.
Hate that one. But that's not the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson.
You're here. I love that song too.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
But that's not it?
I don't think
it's... Was it Candy Cane Lane? Because you've told me you didn't like Candy Cane Lane before.
What is that, Candy Cane Lane?
Ooh, it's by Sia. It's a song I don't like either. But I cannot get the tune in my head right now.
All of them I could do without.
Right.
Almost any contemporary Christmas song that gets a lot of airplay. Because that's how I have to like say that gets a lot of airplay that you'll hear like on commercials and things like that are the ones I don't like. There are good contemporary Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Either covers of old songs or just brand new ones that you'll never hear.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's newer songs, but people, it seems like we are now stuck in this 80 through 2010, and that's the Christmas music that we're listening to. That, like, new stuff really hasn't been able to get on the list in the last 10 years, in my opinion.
Well, it's tough to, because the whole idea, right, is like tradition.
Yeah.
And how, like, it's like comfort food, the holiday music.
Yeah.
And
it's feel good music.
Yeah. When you want comfort food, you don't want new comfort food. Right, you want the stuff that you're familiar with. There's a reason why.
You want Mariah Carey.
No, I was going to say.
Don't want a lot for.
You want Elvis and Bing Crosby.
Yes. I mean.
But like, that's the kind of stuff. It's tough to knock them out of the rotation.
But can I say this about Mariah Carey? I was thinking this last night because it came on. I was driving around and the Mariah Carey Christmas song that comes on once an hour came on. It is amazing. Mariah Carey, for the longest time, was the highest charting, the most number one of a female artist, right? She held that title for a long time. But there are so many people out there, I'd say a majority of people, that only know her by one song. And she filled the 90s with number one hits. But people completely forget about that because the one song that is drilled into their head for 25 days every year. And I think it's a good song. I think it's overplayed. I think it's a good song. I don't think there's anything
wrong.
That's
probably right.
But it's overplayed.
That's probably right. I would not mind it if it wasn't so
once
overplayed.
An hour. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably it for me.
Here's a song that I think deserves more playtime. And it's one of those older songs, right? You talked about Elvis. You talked about Bing Crosby. You don't hear it as much. The Christmas Blues by Dean Martin. That is a great song. And you don't hear it as often as the other ones.
Yeah, because I don't think I would notice it. Does the Elvis Christmas CD get a lot of play anymore? I feel like it doesn't.
I mean, at the
growing up, I mean, you Elvis is Christmas, Blue Christmas, like Here Comes Santa Claus, all that stuff. You'd hear it all the time. That was like right in the mix of things. Now I feel like they've got all this junk that they're trying to get on, and they've kicked Elvis to the curb.
Well, Elvis still gets a lot of play. We have the Elvis Christmas album, vinyl at the Beamer house. So we still play the Elvis. I think that's, I don't know how, you for me, you can't go through Christmas. There's a lot of stuff that I like, and these aren't my favorite songs, but it doesn't sound right if you don't put Elvis or the Carpenters or into that loop. Even Elton John step into Christmas.
So the ones that don't, and this is 803-0930 to weigh in today, what is your favorite Christmas song that you love hearing now that we are hearing it all the time? You got the snow on the ground. We're talking about the holiday markets. You're in the spirit. What is your least favorite song that you've heard and that you just want to throw out into the sun? And what doesn't get enough attention? 803-0930. On our text board, someone's saying Snoopy versus the Red Baron, the best and most underplayed, doesn't get a lot of attention. I might agree with that person.
I think it gets a lot of airplay.
It does?
I mean, it did at one time. It might be like Elvis. It might be.
I think like that's like I think anymore. I would be surprised to turn on Christmas music like a contemporary playlist or a star right now and hear Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Yep.
Here's the one that got me thinking of that, Joe. And it's on a commercial. I was stunned when I heard this because this is one of the most played. So Pogue's Fairy Tale in New York, best Christmas song for me and most played. That's a Christmas song that I can be like you. July. That's you can put the If I Should Fall from Grace with God CD that's on in the middle of that CD. I'll listen to the whole song. It's a Christmas song you can listen to in the middle of the summer. But the song that I'm thinking of here, it's on an Amazon commercial. Very briefly, Donde Está Santa Claus. You know the song, Joe?
Yeah, I've not seen this commercial though.
You haven't. The song came on the commercial. It's one of those songs very hard to find. I think Augie Rios is the name. That might just be the name of the person who first uploaded it to LimeWire back in the day. Because, I mean, you look for an Augie Rios.
You can't find it.
The person, like, doesn't exist. But I was stunned to see it on. I'm like, whoa, finally, this song, great Christmas song, getting its due on a commercial.
I've not seen that commercial.
I couldn't believe it. Audrey in Buffalo, before the break, we'll get to you. Favorite song that they rarely play, Audrey?
Okay, thank you.
What is it?
Oh, I Believe in Father Christmas by Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Emerson, Lake & Palmer. So now that's one again.
That's going over my head.
If you're going over Joe's head with Christmas music, you've got the deep cut.
Was there a time they played this music more often, Audrey?
They rarely play it, and if I hear it once a year, that's it.
Well, we'll look for it during the break. Audrey, thanks for the call. To me, you're the barometer. If it's under your radar, it's like...
Yeah.
It definitely is underplayed.
I do have to say, before we go to break, I've mentioned one song I don't like, right? Marshmallow World. I want to do another one, because I think I want to save my favorites for the end. I think that's you don't want to give that away before the break. Another one I can't stand, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney. He is a legend. He is a great songwriter. That one didn't go to the Hall of Fame with him, in my opinion.
I like it. We'll be back, B-Mez and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here with you on WBEM, where we're talking about Christmas music. And we'll go right to the phones, 803-0930. What's your favorite Christmas song that you're now hearing all over the place in the holiday season? What is the Christmas song that makes you smash your radio? And what is the song that just does not get the love that you think it needs? Randy in Niagara Falls, you're on WBEN. How's it going?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. All right. What are your Christmas favorites or least favorites?
The best favorite, the one you're thinking about, you couldn't remember what it is. It's Vince Vance and the Valiants, and it's All I Want for Christmas. That's that girl. She's got that unbelievable voice.
It's a great song.
Great, a good, great song. And that's about it. That's my favorite. That's all. I love listening to that.
Randy, that's one of my two favorites I was going to mention at the end of the show. Randy checked it off. That is a great song, and it does not get the airplay it deserves.
Okay, that's right. You guys have a wonderful holiday now.
Hey, you too,
Randy. All I Want for, that's the Mariah Carey song.
Well, it's the same title, completely different song. This is from the 80s, not even the same lyrics. It's a completely different song. It's from the 80s. Okay. It has a classic.
So she didn't steal the song.
No, it's still the original Mariah Carey. She just took the title, and technically not the same title because her title is All I Want for Christmas, parentheses, is you. Vince Vance is All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's a little different.
It's just that huge difference. How could we know? All right, everyone on, let's see, on the text board this morning, 803-0930 to weigh in on your Christmas favorites or least favorites as it gets going this holiday season. Someone else said Augie Rios was born in 1940, and maybe that's why it hasn't gotten. I saw it on a, it was, I heard it. Because it's music.
Right.
I heard it on that commercial this year. I was absolutely stunned because it was always the hardest song to find. Down, even like on the streaming apps, like they don't, you have to really dive deep and search for it on some weird, you know, anything. But anyways, other songs, someone saying, all right, One Christmas Tree. There's going to be a lot of songs on here, I think, that we are just totally unaware of. Christmas Shoes. What do you think about the Christmas Shoes?
You know, I know a lot of people don't like that song. I think it's a very sweet song. It's, you know, it Brian, I talked about this a few weeks ago. The older I get, the more I find myself starting to not tear up, but feel the urge to cry when I see, like, Home Alone, when the mom comes home, spoiler alert, when the mom comes home and, you know, Kevin turns around. I mean, that gets me. When she sees him in Home Alone 2, I cry at the end of that movie. Christmas Shoes, I mean, it's just, you know, the boy is trying to get a pair of shoes because his mom is dying and, you know, he wants her to look good if she meets Jesus on Christmas. Oh my gosh, it's I'm starting to cry now just thinking of it. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, but come on. You're just like in the car. Okay, kids, we're going to go see the tree get lit up.
But you have to remember, I also was a huge fan of country music in the early 2000s, and every other song was a song that made you cry. So for me, it's just...
To me, it's just like there's a way to do a sad song.
And that's not it?
Yeah, that's not it for me.
I mean, the song was written for a Hallmark movie, and it's kind of now just become the song.
No wonder you like it.
Yeah, this was when they would show Hallmark movies on CBS.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But now most people don't even know the movie. They know the song. I am a fan of the song. And you know what? The movie, if you like the song and don't mind shedding a few tears, the movie's pretty nice too.
803-0930. We'll go to the phones. Becky in Cheektowaga. Good morning. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Well, my favorite one that I haven't heard yet this year and you hardly hear is The Soldier's Silent Christmas, or... You know, the one about the soldier hunkered down in the bunker and Santa visiting him.
That's the talking one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a I love that song, too.
I love that. And the one I hate, I know everybody loves this one, but I really can't stand it, is the Mannheim Steamroller. Every time I hear them on, I have to turn the station. It just gives me a headache listening to it.
Now, Becky, thank you for the call. Joe, you're going to have to, you're the Mannheim Steamroller, the TSO. I think I would get them both confused. Okay. Which is which?
Mannheim Steamroller is more orchestra sounding. TSO is more rock sounding.
Okay.
Mannheim Steamroller is at Shays. TSO is at the arena.
Okay. What's the Mannheim Steamroller big Christmas song that you would hear? Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I just,
I've told you the story about I took a date to that show once, right? There was no second date.
Yeah. But
it was not Mannheim Steamroller's fault.
Maybe it was.
Nah, I think it was Joe Beamer checking the bowl announcements at intermission instead of focusing on the date. Might have something to do with
it. I like that. That's an all right.
It's very good. And they put on a great show.
I cannot. If I never hear that again in my life, Joe, I'll be fine because it's constantly blaring in my ears anyways.
But you like watching it synced up to lights, right?
No. Yeah, actually, by the way, how it's like every other light display that does synced up to music is to that song, too, which adds into the overplayment of it. Sorry to say. We've had the TSO people on the show before. Nice guys.
Yeah.
But doesn't do it for me. Sue in Clarence, you're on WBEN. Best Christmas song, worst Christmas song. What do you think?
Well, my very favorite Christmas song is Believe by Josh Groban.
Okay. Are
Polar
you
Express.
Generally, Sue, is that your style of music? That's like what you would gravitate to?
No, I'm all over the place. I like all different styles, but that is just so beautiful that I just love that one the best.
Okay. Do you have one that has you turning off the radio?
Yes. It's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Although, I have a funny, not funny story about that, in that one year my mother was at a local grocery store and literally got ran over by a meat cart. And so that year, she was okay after a treatment. But that year, we kept singing it to her, Grandma Got Run Over by a Meat Cart.
You should record that. walking through the grocery store this eve, something like that. Sue, you could do it. Thank you for the call. I think that's another one that is like a love-hate thing.
There's no one that just goes, oh, I can have the song in the background.
I got to say, love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the silly song everyone liked as a kid.
Yeah,
you're listening to Christmas Shoes. Everyone's getting all emotional. You need something to add a little levity.
I think that's the perfect playlist. You follow that up with Grandma Got Ran Over by the Reindeer. It gets you back. It kind of, gets you right back to where you were.
She needs the shoes because
she's going to get ran over by
a
reindeer.
She got ran over by the reindeer. It's actually the same song.
Yeah, it's the continuation. It's the part
same
two.
Story in the it was also in the Hallmark movie.
You know, I must have missed that. That was the DVD cut.
That was in there. But that's, people are weighing in with just names of songs. So, like, I have Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer on the text board, but I don't know if it's your favorite or least favorite.
Right.
So add that if you're texting in this morning on 803-0930. It's also where you can call in.
Bing Crosby, David Bowie, the little drummer boy. I like that version. You know, I think it's like the last song Bing Crosby recorded before passing away, if I recall it correctly.
If I think I know what you're talking about, and yeah, I do like that song.
Yeah.
I like every little drummer boy. Johnny Cash does a little drummer boy.
Yes,
that's
he does.
Excellent.
Yes. I heard that yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
How much Christmas music have you listened to this year?
This year? Oh my gosh. I mean, hours. I mean, it's the go-to. When I get into my car, I go Odyssey app, Star 102.5. You can also hear on 107.7 HD2. And it's what I've been listening to since they started Christmas music. And before that, Brian, I don't know if you know this, there's an all-year-round Christmas station on the Odyssey app that gets a lot of play at the Beamer house.
You're the one when they look at the streaming in August.
Who's this one in Buffalo?
Yeah, they're just this one guy keeps playing. I mean, we got to keep on air all year round, I guess, because there's the demand for it. It's one person, but still.
I've heard that that's the reason they keep it going, is they see that there's one person listening to it all year round.
Yeah, for you. All right. There's someone said Father Christmas by the Kinks. It's one of my all-time favorites. That is, that's the kind of stuff that's up. And the Kinks, what was their other Christmas song? I'm not sure. But that is great, and when people cover it, it's great. I'm a big fan. Like, that kind of stuff is up my alley. Stuff that is a little off the wall.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I like.
I'm very mainstream when it comes to my Christmas music, as if you couldn't tell.
That's why I have to make, and I still haven't really done it, I'm usually making my own Christmas playlist of all of my favorite, and I'm trying to figure out where it is right now. So that's why I asked you how much Christmas music have you listened to this year, because I have no idea where my Christmas playlist even is. It has not begun in my house. I just notice it everywhere else, and that's why I thought, all right, so now must be the time everyone starts listening. Not the week before, like me.
I like the song. I think it's Mitch Miller, Must Be Santa. Have you ever heard this one? Who's got a big red cherry nose?
Have I ever heard this one? That's like a super famous song, but doesn't Bob Dylan do?
He does a version of it. I like the Mitch Miller version.
Isn't Bob Dylan the good version? I mean, not to you. You just said it's not to you, but I
grew up with the Mitch Miller version, so I can't. I obviously have a bias.
Now, do both of them end up going super fast at the end? Or is that just the Bob Dylan version?
I think that's just the Bob Dylan version.
So that's the good one.
Okay.
When it goes super fast at the end, like that, I do like that song.
So I learned this at church when I was a kid, because we would perform it, you know, at the church Christmas concert. And so I don't think we could go super fast at the end, Brian, because we all had to keep up for the performance. So we learned it by listening to the Mitch Miller version, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. And then you didn't go fast at the end. They're like, all right, these kids just can't handle.
Yeah, we just want to make sure everyone's...
The speed of which Bob Dylan sings his stuff, which if you've seen him in the last 10 years is a ludicrous thing to say, but...
He's not speeding it up anymore?
He is not speeding it up anymore, at least... From what I know. And I think I found my Christmas playlist. Or at least it's somewhere in there. Yeah, here we go. So on my Christmas playlist, I've got covers of the Elvis Christmas stuff by the Reverend Horton Heat. I've got instrumental stuff. Fairy Tale of New York, of course. Tom Waits. Butch Walker had a great Christmas. That's like contemporary Christmas music. You know how much airplay they got, Joe?
Zero minutes,
yeah. I believe, of airplay. Great stuff. The Beach Boys Christmas. Are you a fan of that?
I have that on vinyl.
I love the Beach Boys Christmas. Little Saint Nick, the man with all the toys. Silver Bells with John Prine.
By the way, the Beach Boys Christmas album is perfect at summertime, because anything Beach Boys makes you think of the beach. That's why they're the Beach Boys.
Yeah, no Christmas is perfect summertime, but... Anyways, Joey Ramone, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. That gets some airplay.
I've actually heard that one, so yes.
That's a pretty popular one, I think, in terms of what's on my list here. That's one of my favorites. The Booker T and the MGs Jingle Bells.
I've not heard that one.
You have.
Have I? Okay.
You 100% have. It might just not ring a bell. You would love this one, Joe. Tim Armstrong's version of Mr. Grinch. He does it under the name Tim Timebomb. It is the absolute best version of the Grinch you'll hear.
All right.
Because his voice, you would think that he is the Grinch.
All right.
That's just the way it is. J.D. McPherson, is that a person? Rings any bells?
No.
He's a country artist.
Yeah.
Had a great Christmas album. But no, that's the kind of stuff. Never gets any airplay anywhere. And that's my...
That's your stuff?
Buck Owens. What was his Christmas song again? Oh, no. Santa Looks a Lot Like Daddy?
I've heard a song about, like, with that in the chorus.
That's old classic country Christmas right there. I mean, that's a great one.
Another good country Christmas song, Christmas Cookies, George Strait. I do like that song. But my favorite song, and people get mad at me every year, Brian. So, you know, the last time I do a show before the holiday, I'll always play this to end the show. And people get mad. They say, Joe, that's not a Christmas song. Okay, it might not be 100% a Christmas song. But you know what? I listen to a lot of Christmas music. I think it's a Christmas song. It counts as a Christmas song. I'm going with Dan Fogelberg, Same Old Lang Syne. That has been my favorite Christmas song for as long as I can remember. And they don't start playing it until the week before Christmas Eve, because the song is about a happening on Christmas Eve. It's a great song. The Backstreet Boys covered it a few years ago on their Christmas album.
You just ruined it.
Hold on. The Backstreet Boys covered it on their album, and I love the Backstreet Boys. It's not the same. Dan Fogelberg, is the version you got to listen to. And again, it is, without a doubt, my favorite Christmas song. I probably have already listened to it 30-some times.
It's the New Year's Eve song, right?
No, it's the
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne. But it's a story about someone from school that he ran into in the an old fling that he ran into in the grocery store when the snow was falling on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Would I know the song
yes,
if I heard
would.
It? Okay.
No doubt.
Okay.
They couldn't find an open bar, so they just drank it in her car.
When you say it like that, I feel like I haven't heard it before.
The last line is, as I went to make my way back home, the snow turned into rain. And then then Auld Lang Syne starts playing in the background.
Okay. So you really go for the, like, theatrical, over-the-top...
when it comes to Christmas, I guess I do.
...movie inside of a song. Yeah. How is Fairy Tale in New York not your favorite Christmas song?
That's a great question. You pose a great question.
I mean, that is right up your alley, given everything you've said about your favorite song so far.
Yeah.
Just like the anything that's a story... It's like you don't have Christmas. This is how I'm envisioning you and your son. You don't do Christmas books at night. You just play one song at night before bed that is a storytelling song.
Yeah, and he's asleep.
Yeah, and that's it.
I mean, here's the line from she said she married her an architect, right? And then she said she saw me in the record store, and I must be doing fine.
On the text board, someone saying "Must Be Santa" by Bob Dylan's great, especially the video because it's bizarre. I've never seen the video before, but I guess I'm going to have to. Santa Claus Coming to Town, Bruce Springsteen live. I love that.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan. We've gone over this before. Both of his big Christmas hits,
what's
huge fan of. So Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and then he does have another one. And it's just. It's going over my head right now, but there's another live one. I think it's from that same performance that's big at Christmas time.
You got backup here for Paul McCartney with The Worst. Here's the thing about that song. I don't particularly like it.
You give it a pass because it's Christmas.
I think I give it a double pass because it's Christmas. Like, I'm already listening to music I'm not listening to 95% of the year.
Okay.
And then it gets a double pass because it's Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I mean...
I think that's me. Like, I'm already in my head resigned to listening to not great music.
Yeah.
So, and it's Paul McCartney. I'll give him his due.
But you get a few bad ones, you know? Doesn't take away from the legend that he is. I'm just saying, this one, it's not... When you go to the Hall of Fame, you're not going to think of...
Well, no. That's not...
Right.
He's not going to be known for his Christmas song, but I thought his Christmas effort was a decent one.
But I'm not saying it takes away from his writing ability or his music ability. I'm just saying when I hear it, I press
skip. John Lennon has the better Christmas song.
Yes. Yes. Do They Know It's Christmas Time at All by Band-Aid? Also a good one.
I would agree that the John Lennon one's probably better.
Then simply yes.
Yeah. He got the upper hand on Paul that time.
Yes.
Paul's still my favorite.
Yeah.
It's not Paul's, not
Paul's
gonna
great.
Change it.
And I'm not even the biggest Beatles fan, but Paul's great. I just his Christmas song I'm not listening to. It was not on the Beatles 1 CD.
There's definitely a common theme when it comes to least favorite song. We're up against it here. The Hippopotamus and the Christmas Donkey, both like getting least favorite. Silly, outrageous stuff gets put to the bottom of the list.
See, for
sappy stuff gets put to the top, I guess.
For me, the silly stuff, though, if I'm in the mood for it, I can listen to it all day. That's not music I'm automatically throwing out. It just depends on the mood I'm in the car.
Dónde está Santa Claus? All right, Kevin. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Yes.
You got David coming up after the news with Lucas on WBEN.